Sky Blue Stories is recorded at the Hills Podcast Studio at the Bella Vista Hotel.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, excited.
Thank you so much, and thanks for saying I'm your favorite player.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks so much for having me. It's an absolute pleasure to be here.
No problem, guys. Thank you for having us.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on here.
Thanks for having me.
No problem. Thank you for having me on. Hey, guys. How are you going?
No problems at all, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much. It's a nice introduction.
No problem. Thanks so much for having me on, guys.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks for having me, guys.
A good laugh, a good chat. So I enjoyed it. Thanks, boys.
Hey guys, Sky Blue Stories has a new sponsor. Were you aware of this?
I was. I read the run sheet.
Yeah, good. James, you across this new sponsorship agreement that we have?
Do we have run sheets?
God, James.
I love sponsors though.
We love sponsors, and we especially love our brand new sponsor for the rest of the season, Arrow Sport, who are a clothing wear and, well, you know, football specific, but all sports really, looking after your customized jerseys, gents. What do you think of that?
Fantastic.
All age Enfield, Sean? Or you got, you?
Please deck us out, yeah. Maybe James? Some training gear.
I will be wearing them exclusively on our Patreon.
I think so. And yes, there may be some special customised Sky Blue Stories shirts coming our way. But Arrow Sport started last year, for those unaware, 2020. And again, born out of a passion for football, which, guys, is pretty much, you know, aligned with what we're doing here at Sky Blue Stories. So thank you to the team at Arrow Sport. We're super excited for this partnership to come on board. And yeah, everyone should watch this space. We've got more to come.
If I wanted to find out more about Arrow Sport, where would I go, Jono?
James, I'm so glad you asked. It would be www.arrowsport.com.au.
Would you say they've got social channels as well?
I would say that. And you can find those on their website. Otherwise, if you Google Arrow Sport, you can find them on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. Hello and welcome to another episode of Sky Blue Stories. The A-League, W-League, and now NPL are all in full swing. There's a lot going on around Sydney FC, both football-wise and non-football-wise. It's also Mardi Gras week in Sydney this week, so what better way we thought at Sky Blue Stories than to bring along a rainbow flag carrying member of Sydney FC and their fan support, also a referee, also a brilliant executive assistant looking for work at the moment, the wonderful John Apotsis. John, welcome to Sky Blue Stories.
Thanks, lads. Thanks for having me. Hello. Wow. Yasu. Very nice.
How long until Sean calls John a Malacca?
Wait. At least a minute.
Okay, good.
Yeah, several good. Times.
Yeah.
45
seconds.
Yeah.
He's also hilarious, which we've discovered recently. Thank you. Which needs Sean to go. Or? No, certainly
no.
Not Sean.
Oh, no, I was going to say.
John.
Yes.
Not Yathan, but John.
Yes. Yanni.
Yanni.
Yeah. Wow. Oh. Very nice pronunciation, but thank very, good. Very thank nice.
Yan. Yon. Ne. Yon ne. Ne, no.
So,
ne is how you say yes in Greek.
It's funny, for the benefit of the listeners, we've been spending about the last half hour in the podcast studio. We haven't actually recorded anything because we've just been talking shit the whole time. So John put his foot down and said, no, guys, come on, let's actually, you know, you're supposed to be professional.
I did not say that.
It was mildly assertive.
Listen, 1 minute in and you're already making me look.
Mildly assertive.
You know. I pay you Patreon money. I'm one of your patrons and you guys are just fucking around.
Thank you for
wow.
that.
Wow.
By the way.
Thank you, John.
I didn't come here to get attacked.
Thank you. But welcome to the podcast. Really, really super excited to have you here and talk some football, mate.
Thank you so much, fellas. This is a real fanboy moment.
Awesome. Us to you. Tonight we're going to talk about, we're going to review, as I said in the preview, A-League, W-League and NPL. Talk about a few problems that emerging throughout the team. Sydney FC currently in eighth position as we record the podcast. Game in hand on most, but we're starting to waver a bit, and obviously the usual fans are getting a bit louder about that. So we'll talk about that a bit later on.
Well, what do you mean by usual fans?
Well, the people that usually jump off the bandwagon and start, you know,
the mumble
criticizing, yeah, feasting on the goo inside.
Would you suggest that any of feasting them are maybe the sitting at this table in the right hand corner?
We have our own. But right from your side? Or?
Right, yeah. So if you're looking I've been saying that for the past year.
Yeah.
And on the right-hand side down the very back.
I would say both on the right.
Wearing a shirt that's got...
That is a nice shirt. Yeah,
is that one of your Japanese shirts?
That's right.
Okay, cool. Anyway.
That's really nice. Anyway, possibly James, yes.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, we'll get deeper into that.
So we will talk about that. We'll also preview the week ahead. There's a lot of football going on, as I've said a few times now. Wow, I sound really repetitive and boring. But first of all, we wanted to wrap up, before we move on, wrap up last week's fundraising efforts that we had through the club. As everyone who listens to this probably saw, the Luke Bratton Funko Pop was run and won to a wonderful gentleman named Alex Coolum, who has his own circumstances going on with his family, which I won't go into because it's a personal situation. But Alex was super excited to win the Luke Bratton Funko Pop for a donation of $601.
That's ridiculous. That's absolutely exceeded expectations.
Well done.
Thank you very much. And I'll say nothing more on the matter except you're my favourite Melbourne Victory supporter.
Not bad for a Melbourne Victory supporter.
Absolutely.
Well done, mate.
What a bloke.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's allowed.
It's almost allowed. Saved. No.
No.
No, no. It hasn't saved the club, but Alex
it's saved his soul, though.
It's definitely cool. Definitely cool in Sky Blue Story's eyes. So I just wanted to say a quick thank you once again to everyone that got involved in that. And that's it. Sean, how are you, my friend?
I'm very well, Jono. Been running my eyes around the grounds with the socials. Not much going on this week, but the wonderful, our favourite Norwegian fan, listener Ardo, all the way from the Nordic Arctic Circle.
Did you get it right this time? He's not Norwegian, is he?
Isn't he? Swedish? Oh, something up there. They're all the same.
Oh, wow. Norwegian. Should probably get that right.
Yeah.
That's really insulting, actually.
He's Scandinavian.
Scandinavian. Nordic.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the same thing. Send us a message.
They're taking the piss, Ardo. They're taking the piss.
Yeah, we love you. to chat about. And look, it's very relevant to the MacArthur game. So we'll talk about it, Ardo, about some of the players you're concerned about in the team, a bit of a hot topic, but it would certainly come out in the wash through the MacArthur review in
He's
time.
He's an Australian in Norway.
Yeah, an expat, is that what they call them?
Says Aussie in Norway.
Yeah. Anyway, come
Hakkinen's
on,
Hakkinen's a Finnish name, though.
Mate, I don't give a shit. Come on, let's stick to football. Come on.
Thank you, James.
All right. but look, so nothing else much to say about the grounds other than what Ardo contributing to us, and we'll definitely get into it, Ardo, with the MacArthur review. A little bit of club and squad business as well. With the women's game that has just been done and won, it had Nat Tobin as captain with her first game as captain for the club. And good to get that 100% win percentage as captain. But Jono, I got in touch with the wonderful Rowdy.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, during the week. Saw him on the weekend with Slowey as their kids were doing that nice halftime dribble.
Nice.
Maybe a disappointing effort from their girls, but that's something to talk about another day. But with Nat Tobin captaining her team for the first time, can you name, obviously, goes without saying, Teresa is the most captained, 105 games she's captained for the club.
Okay.
She's well out in first. It's her, then Daylight.
Yeah.
But other than Teresa and Natalie,
yep,
can you name the other?
Jesus, I should have read the run sheet to do some homework.
No, he purposely took it off the run sheet.
Yes, I did. Also, yeah. You know how I used to back in the day, I used to like turn the font into white.
Yeah, so
you
could,
I didn't even do that because I know you cottoned onto that.
I did, yeah.
But can you name some of the others who have captained our club in the women's team? John, feel free to get involved.
Can I?
Don't stop Googling it now, John. Put the phone down.
Can I phone a friend?
Damn.
Come on. Even James. James, you know, with your... Not, I reckon even you could name a couple of them.
How many are there, mate?
Nine.
Wow. That so have at least name, one.
Can you name the other seven?
Lena Karmas?
Nope.
Not really.
None.
I'm actually quite
nothing
surprised
for her
that.
For Lena. None of the Karmas is fine then.
Kaya Simon?
Yes, with 13. A 69% win ratio percentage with a...
Renee Rollison?
Negative.
Oh. Jeez, John.
Former W League coach is on here. Or NPL coach. HG.
Heather Garriock.
Yep, that's it.
She's the second most with 25.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that must have been the year.
Not have picked.
Yeah, the year that Teresa wasn't.
There's a couple here, former Sydney FC. One has always been at FC. The other one has bounced around at a few clubs, but both of them find themselves over. One in England, one in Holland.
Caitlin Ford.
Well done, James. Good boy.
Nice.
With only one game as captain. And she's also 100%.
That was a
one from
lucky
one.
Yes, wasn't it?
Good on you, James. I'm proud of you.
How many have we got?
England was a bit of a giveaway.
You got about another five.
Kylie Ledbrook.
Yes, with seven.
Okay. That's almost me done. That's almost me done.
Kaya Simon, Jonathan.
Oh, I thought we already said that.
No, 13. She's the third most. Lisa Gilbert, as you mentioned, Kylie Ledbrook, Danielle Brogan, Savette Olzanar.
Oh, yeah, Olzanar. Yep.
And, of course, Nat. So there's your seven.
Fantastic.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you, Rowdy, for replying to me. That pissed you off with our last interview. So thank you for that. And the other thing to mention is, as it came out in the wash in the past 24 hours, Retro with a one-match ban. And I'm sitting across from a referee. And only a one-match ban for a straight red card. Is that normal? Is that?
Yes.
Yeah? Okay. Yeah. I thought you might, like, for a straight red, you might get. I thought it would be, like, two yellows. Okay, then you get the one.
At A-League level, I don't know.
For an R7. Yeah. No, they're generally both.
But there's some technical terminology there.
Oh, sorry. For a second yellow, it's an R7.
Okay.
Right.
Second cautionable offense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. R7.
But red. I have to agree with Jamie, who said online on Twitter, perhaps an admission from the FA that it wasn't as big a foul as it probably could have, should have been. Like,
yeah.
You know, if it was really violent conduct, maybe 2 or 3 weeks, but the fact that it only got one, doesn't that say maybe should have been a yellow win in the game?
I generally try to. Okay, you're talking to a grassroots football referee. I won't comment on A-League matters. But if you don't want a referee to go making a decision, don't put the referee in the position where they have to make a decision.
Oh, here we go.
Turn it up. Bloody refs.
Yeah,
always sorry.
Indeed.
Always deflecting.
Well, yeah. Look, while we're on the subject of Alex King, who was the referee on the day.
Careful.
I would like to issue an open invitation for him to spend a day, 90 minutes, fair's fair.
Podcast?
Coming to my place of work.
Right.
And critiquing my performance so that everything I say in about 20 minutes can be said.
I'm not following.
Well, you know, the age-old argument of if you, you know, go and do the job yourself, no one understands.
Okay.
Right? So please feel free to come to my work.
You want a job swap?
No, I don't want a referee.
Funny.
Funny, yeah.
I was more than happy to extend an open invitation for you to come to my local district. I'll put you through.
I would back you all day referee. Because you are terrifying.
That was very intimidating.
Alex King's had a few of our games, James.
Yeah.
Not a fan, Jonathan.
Look, generally, I wouldn't complain about a red card. I think the thing that upsets me is that...
was justified.
Yeah, and, you know, you miss calls and one of the things that upsets me is that a player caught the ball two-handed. Yes, it may have been going out and there was nothing done.
That was strange.
Right? It wasn't mentioned. It was moved on. There was no explanation. That is what upsets me and therefore you become so incensed by it that any reason for any other logical decision goes out the window.
Yeah.
And I am, first of all, a Sydney FC fan more than a Alex King fan.
Yes.
So, therefore, he's in the wrong.
Well, Brenton Speed, I've heard Brenton Speed quite often say this year, Alex King, the best referee in the A-League or something like that. And
stretch.
I don't know. I haven't found that his style of refereeing is inducive to good football games. But that's just my opinion.
Justify?
He gets in the way and blows whistles when he doesn't need to.
He did get in the way.
Sometimes he makes it about him rather than what's actually happening on the pitch.
So you're calling him the Mike Dean of A-League?
Not that bad. But no, I just look, John, I just...
Fun fact, I've been called the Mike Dean of my local dispatcher.
Is it the again, hair? I just think that Sydney FC style of
trying
play...
Trying to like...
Sydney FC style of play with Alex King refereeing, we don't play well when he's refereeing. And that's not saying he's doing a good or bad job. I just...
We tend to have bad games. Yeah. So without us taking the piss, John, legitimately... Given what you've seen of the game, what's your assessment of his performance as a referee? Right? Us.
You seem like an Alex King fan.
When you're watching the games, do you have an eye at the referee and see what he's, or she, you know, depending maybe if you're watching a W League game, you're going to take notes or going, oh, he should be standing here or that could have been this and that? And
I don't go out to games to assess.
No, referees. But you can't help but just sometimes take notice of what they're doing or not doing.
Sure. But there is also an understanding that they will do certain things at the elite level that won't be done at the grassroots level. Mm. And yes, there are certain aspects of that that is infuriating because a lot of people will go out to the grounds. They will see that. A lot of children will go out and they will see that sort of stuff happening and they will go back to their local districts and they'll think that what's happened there or the things that have occurred which have incensed their parents and incensed them in following their A-League team is therefore... justification for them to take that level of or to take that angle and that approach and that mentality towards match officials in their local districts. You know, and I think probably one of the best little ways to combat that are the signs that you'll generally see at football grounds, which is this is not the A-League, this is not the World Cup, these are volunteers. Everybody's a volunteer, including the referees. So... yeah, look, I do pay attention to what the referees do, but you do reach a point, and I've reached that point in my refereeing career where I will take certain things with a grain of salt from the elite level and
sensible,
bring it back down to the grassroots level. Certainly, there are things that you can always learn, and I think it's important that a lot of people don't actually know is that whilst there's, and it's interesting because every time there's an issue. With regards to refereeing, there's always a call for referees to be demoted or promoted or whatever it is. What's funny is that many people actually don't know that, well, ignore the fact that referees, even at the elite level, actually are getting assessed. We're all subject to assessment. So,
Well, I think what Sean was saying was that you, as a fully trained and class A, is that how they?
I'm
is he, a narcotic?
I am.
Class A drug.
No.
I might say.
I am clinically insane, though.
But as a referee, do you have that instinctiveness where you go, oh, I wouldn't have made that call? Or, you know, do you try and just separate the whole thing and just try and enjoy the game?
And just be a fan.
There are sometimes when I just want to be a fan.
Yeah.
There are sometimes when I don't, when I myself am coming to a Sydney FC game or I'm going to watch football. And I've had coming to podcast and,
sorry,
and I've, you know, either had a rough day at refereeing or I've had a very full day and I'm just all footballed out with regards to technicalities.
Yeah.
And I just want
to switch off.
I just want to watch like every other fan.
Do his thing.
Saying that, I'm sure I've seen you invite people down to refereeing courses and things when there may have been some comments that you didn't agree with on the commentary.
I've got to watch myself.
Sometimes. No, you don't.
Yeah. But yes, I have done that. Whenever I do disagree with someone's views, the going trend will be to invite them down. I'll be more than happy to run them through a level 4 course and then put them on an age appropriate game and see how well they do.
Under 12s.
No. Yeah.
I've refereed an over 45s game and I'll never do that again.
Too hard. They're
horrible.
Too hard.
Old men. Never again.
They know more than you, Sean.
No, so they think.
They've played in the World Cup. Come on.
It's funny, they just pull up after 10 metres. Anyway, boys, last week, midweek, there was some W League game.
It was.
All the way over in the West.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, Sean. Sorry.
You know?
I'm doing that thing where you go backwards and...
All right, go for it, stuff. Jonathan.
Just
interrupt
last thing on the socials. Thing on the socials before we get to the MacArthur game. Former podcast guest Mariam Chukair put a lovely post up on Facebook about grown men who go to football games and ring cowbells should seriously assess their life choices. And I thought that was a, I thought that was a very good post.
Needs
and,
less cowbell.
Less cowbell.
I missed that. I must.
It was good. It was good.
I need to go on and like that.
So sorry, Sean. Yes, the W League.
W League. Yes, they're over in the Wild West. That is Perth. A very, very dominant 6-2 win on the road. Braces to Remy and Claire Wheeler. And I'll give Princess a brace as well, even though technically her second goal was an own goal, but it was a goal for her. So wonderful three scorers on the night. Of course, an interesting thing to see before the game was that Teresa was out for the game, first time in like forever. Yeah. But interesting when they do the ins and the outs during the week and Nomi got the out, injury, out, suspended, out, work commitments.
Yeah.
And it's just an interesting, like, would you see that in an NRL game? Would you see that in an A-League? Would you see that in NBL, you know, BBL, work commitments? And just as, I won't harp on about it, but just the state and the circumstances that says the girls lot. Play under.
Says a lot.
And being a teacher, Teresa Polias was that, so she must have, Polias? I don't know, meat. Polias. Oh, I hope that NPL guy doesn't call her that once she's back playing for Olympic. But, yeah, it's just very – and that's what all of them have to play under. So it won't be the first time – sorry, it won't be the last time that we see somebody not being able to play because of work commitment.
It's sad. It really is. But it also – the flip side, Sean, when you and I spoke to Teresa on this pod – you know, how passionate she is a teacher and how much she gives, you know, to her students and to her classes. And, you know, you mix that up with being the best holding midfielder in the A-League, W League. You know, she's quite an incredible woman. But the point is she shouldn't have to.
Yeah. When I met Therese about 5 years ago through school sport, and I knew she was a teacher, I just assumed that, oh, she's a casual teacher, she's temp, because she couldn't possibly juggle full-time 9 to 3, you know, 9 to 5 kind of thing on a class and the commitments with the W League. But lo and behold.
I mean, the girls were out there again at 5 a.m. this morning training. So
yeah,
I saw
that. With that misty.
A lot of them could go to work.
Yeah.
You know, it really says a lot.
That's 3 days out. That would have been 3 days away for her, like leaving the day before the game, the day of the game, and then probably the leaving the day after or something like that, or late that night. But anyway, up at 4-0, second half. I'm sure Ante would have been a little bit peeved with the pegging back of 2 goals by Hannah Lowry to make it 6-2 or 4-2 at the time.
A little bit of a shock.
That would have been annoying for him. But another sublime game from Claire Wheeler. It's a four-way battle for those three spots, which I guess is a good problem to have.
She's on fire.
Absolutely killing it. And out-and-out number 10. She could have had a third, Claire. She had a penalty denied. But an absolute dom display. Had 29 shots bloody to hell. 6. 29 shots to 6.
Crazy.
But the other annoying or upsetting thing at night was late in the game, Ellie Rush went down with a knee injury. Nothing's been said yet about what it is. God, I hope it doesn't involve an acronym ending in CL. Yeah. So hopefully it's just a niggle, maybe a cork to the knee or something like that, and she might need a week or two's rest. The girls are 5-point clear. They've got a game coming up this week, and then they've got a bye, and then they've got Victory and Canberra, which would be tough games because Victory and Canberra are trying to vie for that top four.
Yeah.
So well done to the girls.
They're almost there.
They're almost there to be able to hold up a Premier's play, and Teresa gets her wish. So well done. Well done to the women. Two of the three teams are playing well. harsh. Too soon.
Snuck that in there.
Too soon. Is that bad? And very quickly, Friday night kicked off the NPL season. So if you want more football, potentially you can watch and see three Sydney FC teams run around over a weekend. But the guys had a really nice start to the campaign. 1-0 win against Marconi at Marconi. My favourite. Jaden Kucharski scored the goal. But Segegic,
You got pretty close there, Sean.
Say it again for me.
Segegic.
That's it. He had a blinder.
Segegic. Who we spoke about last week on the pod.
Yeah.
And Adrian and man of the match.
If he was in Scotland, that wouldn't have happened.
That's right. That's right. So as we said, Jimmy Van Wieren's got a really good asset there in Adrian. And it was great to see Jaden come on off the bench and put that away. It was a backs to the wall performance. I think it's fair to say.
They should have been 2 or 3 nil. I hate to say it, 2 or 3 nil done by half time, but they hung on.
They did.
16-year-olds running around in that team in the last 20-odd minutes, four of them.
Keeping a clean sheet.
And Ivanovic played for them, so maybe in a week or two you might see him on the bench with the A-League boy. So well done, fellas, great for getting that win and on the road to Marconi, who will probably be one of the title contenders this year.
Should probably also make mention of the wonderful little thing that the MPL did as well with regards to every round one match starting off with a one-minute silence to address as well.
Rockdale.
El Hafian, yes, absolutely. So
that was a very touching.
And Rockdale got a huge win for them.
That was 4-0
against Wollongong.
Yeah.
Wow, which isn't,
Wollongong.
Yeah, Wollongong. Well,
were they minor premiers last? Or close? No.
No, year before, yeah.
Year before. But they're one of the better half of the teams. Definitely. So that's a massive win. Mm-hmm. Massive. Now, gentlemen.
So, guys, Jonathan was away on the weekend and gave James free reign of the Twitter account.
Yeah.
for those that didn't see, so I'm gonna sit back on this one and let you gentlemen dissect the game. John, did you go to the game, John?
I did not. I was out at Jensen Park, mentoring some of my junior referees matches. So, yeah, I didn't actually watch the match, but I did see the updates.
Good man. All right, well, gents, I feel like this is going to be goo feasting, but over to you.
I still have the Twitter login.
God damn it, I've got to change that password.
Well, Jimmy, we were there, you and I and Chris, our favourite Englishman.
Our favourite person from the UK, really.
Yeah, just in general. A 1-0 loss to MacArthur.
Where do you start, Sean? Where are you going to start?
Where am I
going to
start?
Where do you want to start? Do you want to wrap the game up? Do you want to provide your thoughts? Do you want to get anything off your chest?
No, I've shaved that back.
Did you? I thought you were onto the Nair.
No, that's the other part.
Oh, sorry.
No, that's definitely
no. That's for the Patreon fellas, so stay tuned for that. Black market content.
OnlyFans.
Look, the starting line. Let's OnlyFans. Yes, good point.
Please, you've got a referee in the room. Only refs.
Get on to that. That's a niche market there. Alex King. Now, let's start the starting lineup. Lo and behold, Retro was in for Braddon, of course. Wood was back in the starting lineup up front with
Braddon's
Costa.
Braddon's still out with his concussion, right? The 1 week rest. I'm
expecting
to
see him back this week.
Or yeah, but
he's
got
half to now because of Retro now. But look, it was
depressing.
It was a depressing first half. For me, sitting there in that stand, Jimmy, John and Jono, we had a lot of possession and good field position, but I just felt like we didn't use it effectively enough. I just find that there's a lot of lateral passing back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, keeping possession for possession's sake. In saying that, there were a few chances which we should have put one of them away, and pardon the cliche, we're ruining our chances of not taking them. Wood had the one-on-one. I think Costa put him through for that from just a little bit into their half.
I think so, yeah.
Retre hit the post or crossbar. What else? There was a shot by Costa that was parried away in the 14th minute.
I feel like Costa had 3 or 4 shots, like really good one-on-ones that he was put through a couple of good times.
And I know it's easy to say, being there up in the stands or watching from home, I should have put that away. It's a lot harder when you're actually on the field.
An armchair critic?
Yeah.
Hello, little podcast.
But in saying that, something... And that's what we're missing. John, you said this earlier before we hit record, was that we don't necessarily have big issues in our defence or our midfield. We're missing a clinical striker. Someone. We're creating enough. And I was a little bit annoyed with what Corica said after the game. We're playing excellent. I don't know if I'd use that adjective to describe how we're playing. We're playing good, goodish, decently.
We're playing better than eighth.
Yes, absolutely.
I think we're playing better than 11 points in 8 games. John, yeah. Fair, would you agree?
No, I think it's as frustrating for me as it is for any other Sydney fan, I think.
To see the refs rob us of points.
Wow. Hang on, I've got to hold him back. Hang on.
And I'll hold James down.
I knew there was a reason I should have brought my red and yellow card.
That would have been brilliant.
Kicked out of your own podcast.
No, please. No, sorry.
I think part of the frustration also does come from the fact that we have, as Sydney fans, we've also gotten very used to winning.
Sure have.
Controversial opinion?
No, not at all. Quite accustomed to it.
Exactly. And I think that part of the frustration is because as fans, you know, we all want to be winning and every team wants to win, but we've just gotten very used to winning
these sorts of matches. Slight arrogance, perhaps? Overconfidence?
No, not even that, because I don't think they are. I think it's just...
From us, as fans, perhaps.
Oh, probably.
Yeah.
But, you know, so when they're not performing. And I think I read some sort of an... I think it was someone on Twitter, I'm pretty sure, that said part of Bimby's, you know, approach is trying to keep all of last season's players or as much of that championship-winning team on the park, and so there are very few changes coming through, and at what cost? So that was a rather interesting opinion that I read, and I was like, well, that's an interesting one.
James, I watched a little bit of the game intermittently on the phone as I was travelling around the Riverina. I saw a few of those chances Sean just described, the one-on-ones. I saw Paolo hit the post off a beautiful, beautiful pass.
ABJ. Did you do that?
Was it ABJ or Ninko? Yeah, someone's
through ABJ, ball. Yeah.
And I thought, okay.
Snakes again.
Thought, okay, we're doing okay here. Then after the 35th minute, I think that was in, shit went down. And we seemed to, you know, obviously red card. They scored. Then we had a red card.
Look, their goal was probably the one good chance they had all game.
It was
a moment of pure individual brilliance.
And we were
right in front of it.
Right, we saw it.
Gorgeous to watch.
I hate him because it was so good.
Yeah, if you step back for a sec,
it's a good goal.
And watch it with just a football admiration mindset, it was beautiful. It was great footwork.
We need more Spaniards.
We are not multicultural enough as a team.
No, not diverse. not diverse. It's the Golden Globes all over again. Now, recent reference there. Anyway, it hit Wood's head inadvertently, and then Sisueta picked it up.
Yep.
Nice little drag back, little V-drag to beat him, and then beat, I think it was King, and they beat three players, and Dubshire was just there on the spot.
He ninkoed us.
Absolutely. Oh, did you see Ninko's beautiful run from like halfway? He just, listening to the gentlemen, the people around me, it was, and they were just saying, sorry, James, we're boring you.
Yeah, sorry. It's been a long day.
And
that was a yawn.
He just picked the ball up from halfway and just said, fuck this, guys, I'm going to do it myself. So, look, red card, John, was it? Should it have been? Jonathan, James?
John, have you watched it over and over and ummed and ahed and thought, yeah, I would have done this? Or
red.
Ooh, yeah. I think he's right. On my first watch, I thought that it would be a red as well.
I don't have a problem with the red. I've got a problem with all of the inconsistencies.
Are you talking about the basketball? Are you talking about basketball?
No, in some of the decisions, like it's, and this isn't a let's shit on Alex King podcast. It's I don't get why some challenges are given and some challenges aren't. Why there's play on for some, and there aren't for others. And it's more of a lack of understanding around the way these things are formulated, which is why I'm looking forward to our chat with John a little bit later.
Ooh.
I'm not even trying to be controversial at the moment. It's I literally just don't get it. Like why?
Every situation is different. James, there's no such thing as precedence.
Then why do we have rules?
Laws.
You know this.
Laws.
Exactly. Laws can't be broken, and yet.
They're there to be toyed with.
What are you, tax fraud? Like, seriously. That was terrible.
Shut up.
So, look, let's go through the team. Who had a good game?
I can only genuinely pick out maybe two, three players.
Yep.
And they'll figure in my FCCU votes.
Yep.
But I thought Nico was brilliant. Okay. I thought he was a standout, even in a not just in a losing team. I thought he was just terrific. Callum Neuendorf.
Yep.
And Wilco.
Wilco.
For me, there were only like the three players who
that
really,
run back he did.
Who really had energy and enthusiasm on the day, and just had that fight and hunger, which I think we're quite
so
missing
what,
at the moment.
What did Corica do when we went down to 10 in terms of formation?
Nothing. Well, when we had 10, we actually played all
better.
Right. We actually were all right.
We played better without
Retre. Some work. Yeah.
So what happened was halftime. ABJ was off. Caceres.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Which is an understandable move.
More mobile.
Well, you've got Caceres who can move into the middle more comfortably in a holding role, and then is also very comfortable on the wing. Ninkovic-esque-ish. Player.
Yep, quick feet.
Hooks up well with Grant, so worked out well.
There was two subs that we were left scratching our heads about. We were kind of calling on to happen earlier.
That happened at the 83rd minute?
Oh, almost. But basically the 79th, 80th minute.
So set the scene for me. Were we creating at that time? Was it getting a bit drab? Were we watching? Yeah.
Well, I just felt like the 10 kind of go, shit, we're going to have to fight hard for this, which was kind of missing in that initial part, maybe some recent games as well. But and then eventually Bobo and Geordie came on with about 10 minutes to go. When you're 1-0 down and you're chasing the game and you're trying to score a goal, why leave it to 10 minutes to go to say, all right, here are our two strikers off the bench to do something? I felt like it was maybe
Did McGowan go to 9?
Yes.
Oh,
yes. Because we commented on it. I remember that. Yeah. So because he made – who did he put? It wasn't Van der Sar. Was it Van der Sar?
Van der Sar came on, yeah.
Remember? And then McGowan went off.
Welcome back, H.
Yeah. So what happened was he took Ninko off. Van der Sar came on for Ninko. And then McGowan went up front.
Oh, dear.
I wouldn't take off Ninko with a few minutes to go. He was one of the best players on the field. Just keep him on. He's got a goal in him. Like, he's capable of curating. So why take
and he had a couple of good shots
person
too.
Off. Anyway, I just some of the tactics just I kind of scratched my head about.
One thing that did get me the game is I was sat next to a...
Oh, to your left. Yeah, yeah. What you were saying.
Gentleman who, granted this individual player didn't have a great game, but this gentleman decided to swear bloody murder every time Joel King got the ball.
Hang on, I wasn't there.
No.
Oh,
well,
right,
you like Joel King.
I do like Joel King, yeah. I thought you were swearing, Jamie.
Joel King's what, 20?
Yep, something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't rate him?
The biggest piece of shit that signed in the Sydney FC shirt. Like, things like that, and you're just like, what? Terrible. Yeah. What?
I did think King had a poor game. Yeah. I wouldn't use his vitriol, but...
Yeah, it was just vitriolic constantly.
Yeah, I think,
I
think we spoke about it in the last couple of weeks that, Joel's probably... needs a bit of a break, a bit of a freshen
up. Yeah, he's just tired. Anyway, I thought it was really unfair on Joel King. He's been an excellent servant of the club. He had a great season last year. He's deputised well for Zulo. And if anyone wants to criticise Joel King, they can come and find me.
Oh. Shit.
Right?
Fair.
Yeah, and John too.
Jimmy's really slight. You'd probably win if you fought Jimmy.
Yeah, John's in the ring first.
But yeah, we're missing Zulo, I think we're missing Trent as well, even though he was a bit off to unlucky maybe to start the season.
Yeah.
Might see Vanover. He would have been handy to have off the bench in the last 10 or so minutes.
Good to see Popeye back. Yeah. I'm happy to see Harry back on the bench. That's good news.
Look, it's not alarm bells, fellas.
No, but we could be doing better.
Some tweaks need to happen, whether it's personnel, tactics, formation. Yeah, something needs to change for this week coming up against Brisbane.
Bit of hunger.
Yeah, that's something else I find it's missing. Just bit of aggro. That MacArthur were quite rough and tumble, and in both games with us,
they took it a lot more seriously.
Yeah,
than
absolutely.
We did. It's like we went, this isn't a derby.
So
they said it's a derby.
Similar to the Mariners game where they just bashed us up and left us.
Yeah,
for dead.
Yeah, it really kind of bashed us.
Yeah, okay,
absolutely.
What's your take on our current form, John? Like,
are you an optimistic man? Are you a pessimist?
Glass half full, glass half empty? Because
the one thing we didn't cover over dinner was your opinions on form, coaching, style of play, etc., right?
You're talking to a person who's had selfies with Bimby.
Hey.
Fair enough. I'm a Bimby fanboy.
I'm fine.
Yeah. if you haven't listened before,
we can't be friends.
Ah,
all right.
fight to the death.
We've reached a parting of the ways. Finally.
Sorry, John. Not please a fan of Bibby. Continue.
Okay. I'm not a fan of it. You are.
Yeah, cool.
Why?
There's a reason we're on the opposite side of the table.
Why do you like him?
I think much like any other player, he's been a great servant of the club. I think he's also demonstrated that he's got,
red,
you know,
card, Sean. Just giving Sean a red card.
So do you have qualifications to show that?
No. He's all over all of us. It's beautiful.
I'm trying to help you, man.
It's beautiful.
He's been a good servant, John, but I don't think he's got the coaching credentials to take this team forward and evolve them.
Well, if he's done his badges, he does have the credentials.
Why that reaction, Jonathan? He's been in the Sydney FC bubble since
credentials.
Day one.
Credentials.
Okay, he's got his pro diploma, whatever it is.
He won 2 A-League championships.
You know, on
the,
you know,
the youth league.
A comment that he made to your face.
You know, what credentials?
You know when you threw me under the bus with that? And that was fair that time when we were up there. That was fair. Like, it was called banter. And he goes, well, something to the effect of paraphrasing, you know, well,
we've only won two in a row.
I'm like, well, that's great for the last two, but what about this year?
That's great. This is meant to be about John and his opinions on football and how we're sitting in Sydney FC.
I'm not alone.
I know you're not alone. Hello.
I was trying to mute Sean's microphone.
I know you're not alone, Sean. But you know, let's move on. John, what are your thoughts on our current form and how Sydney FC are going?
I don't think it's crisis point. I think there is still plenty of season left. I think, as I said earlier, as Sydney FC fans, we've gotten way too used to winning matches, and I think the form will turn around at some point. So I think we just need to stick it out. But I think we just need to ease up on the team as a whole.
Question. Do you enjoy watching us play?
Ooh.
The style of football that we play.
Good question,
James. Okay, I'll tell you what. If we were winning, I wouldn't, even by one goal, I wouldn't necessarily have a problem with the way that we're playing. Because I really don't think that we are playing badly. I wouldn't say I would. Okay, sure. I'll agree with Sean. I don't think we're playing excellent.
Don't do that.
But
we're friends again.
I'm trying to build a bridge.
It's the olive branch.
At this point, it's just two pieces of rope that you hold on to and
it's
you.
We're shimmying across.
Yeah, that's right.
Sit on my lap, John. Go on.
What?
Anyway, sorry. No.
What?
Sorry, you were saying.
But at.
Are you Geppetto?
I don't understand that. So what do you think of our style? It's a bit boring.
But has it worked? Is it something that's worked previously?
Are we talking about previous seasons? Or
sure.
Are you making it about you again, Sean?
But other teams have, and I've read this on Twitter and people, you know, they've figured us out, other teams have figured us out. And I honestly think like the Mariners, MacArthur and the like, are going, okay, here's the blueprint to beat Sydney SC and this is how we go about it.
Okay, but Costa puts a couple of more goals away and have MacArthur actually figured us out or just getting lucky?
That's right.
Or are we actually playing football that is winning games and as Sir Alex Ferguson would say, sometimes you have to take an ugly win.
Oh, so long as I'll take an 3 ugly points, win every day of the week. Yeah, give me the 3 points. I'll take an ugly win.
This is refreshing.
Yeah.
It's good, isn't
it? I'll take an ugly win, but I just don't think we're playing to our potential.
Yeah, but remember this, right? They when Arnie lost a couple of games in that, I think it was the 17-18 season actually, after
his first season,
the all-conquering 16-17 squad, and then we had 17-18 squad, which we won the minor premiership by whatever, but we lost a couple more games. Someone asked him in a press conference, they said, oh, so do you think teams have worked you out? And he said, yeah, they might have, but we're still winning. We're still going to win. And what did they do? They went on and broke all sorts of records.
But we're not quite in the same position as what Arnie was in.
No, but, you know, the whole plan A, do it better sort of thing. I agree there should be a plan B. I'm not.
And McGowan going up front is not plan B.
No, it's not.
No.
I like it.
Okay, go on. You're now the coach of Sydney FC.
Oh, don't give him the floor, John.
This is a separate podcast. That will take another hour, John.
Don't give him the justification.
I can answer the question for you. It's a 4-2-3-1.
4-3-3. Trent up front.
Yeah, Trent up front. Yeah.
I'm starting in behind there on number
two. Minko.
Just my I'm just going to put my whole Enfield team on, give them a run. Come see us on Friday night.
Minko on the left, Caceres on the right, interswapped with ABJ occasionally. Barbarousis in the middle.
Mm-hmm. In the middle?
No, left. Sorry. The bench. Yeah, no. Right. Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. All right, SFCU.
Underground.
Votes.
I'll go.
You have six votes to apportion.
I haven't watched the game, so I'm not.
So, any players you would like to give the votes to?
It's going to be the three names that I've mentioned, but it's going to be Ninko 3, Callum 2, and Wilco 1.
Ninko 3, Costa 1, because I think he did well.
He did all right. Despite the
Callum
finishing.
1.
Got one.
3-1. I've got one left. Paolo Retre. Because we paid better when he came off.
You can't. No. No.
We did.
Give it to Caceres then for coming on and doing a job with 10 minutes.
Yeah, no, that was obviously a joke, Caceres.
Oh, yeah. Hilarious.
But we did play better.
Yeah, we did.
Before we get on to previewing this weekend's games, let's turn our focus to our wonderful guest, Mr. John Apotsis, who we.
Wrong one.
Yeah.
They don't have the cheering one anymore.
Aww.
Yeah.
John's here.
That's from now on, that's the intro. Yeah. Middleby Lane's out. That's in. There is no Middleby Lane this week.
Oh, thank God.
My apologies. To everyone, but you've thank taken goodness. The focus off John, and I'm not happy about it.
That's okay. I'm still loving the
X-Files.
Yep.
Yeah.
He just cancelled his Patreon.
Yeah.
That's what he was doing on his phone.
I was wondering what he was
doing. Studies only refs.
That's right. I've
got to pay the rent somehow.
So John, once again, thank you very much for putting up with our malarkey and coming on and sharing your Sky Blue story with us.
No problem.
So why don't you take us back, I guess, you know, to kick things off. What is in fact your Sky Blue story? How did you come to love Sydney FC?
My Sky Blue story kicked off in the 2009-2010 season. It was round two, Sydney FC versus Adelaide United at the old SFS. It was my very first game. I had been invited by a very good friend of mine who is also Coach Pete Novakovsky.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Pete. Famous. Everyone knows Pete.
Everyone knows Pete.
Tall, lanky Pete.
Yeah, he's great. he invited me. I had, to that point, only seen and heard little bits about Sydney FC and not really paid too much attention. Went along to the game and, yeah, we ended up winning 2-1. And thereafter, I, you know, went to every home game after that.
Booked.
Yeah, pretty much.
Fantastic. Thank pretty you, much. Pete. Good work, Mr. Noah.
Yeah, indeed.
Did you have a team before that?
No.
Or an NPL team or anything like that? No.
No, look.
Not even there, Sydney Olympic?
There was Sydney. Greek. There was. Wow, we're all about the stereotype.
We are.
Yeah.
John, right when Jonathan asked you if you came from Marrickville today.
Indeed.
We had some lucky for dinner. Anyway, yes.
He had pasta. Leave the man alone. Yes, Sydney Olympic,
but even that was a kind of a loose association.
Mm. Yep, okay. And what about teams outside of Sydney FC? You've revealed to me prior to recording you are, in fact, unfortunately, an Arsenal fan.
Oh.
Unfortunate is a matter of perspective.
That's right. Yeah, that's
because you're also true. A Spurs fan.
Yeah. Exactly.
And he's still here talking to you.
Yeah, well.
Talking is a matter of perspective.
Frostily. Anyone else? Who else? Or is Sydney FC your big love?
No. So with regards to Australia, there is only Sydney FC for me. There are no NPL teams. There is no grassroots football team because referee. conflict of interest
impartial.
There. Indeed. So, you know, I've really got no ambitions of going higher. So A-League is fine. Yes, there's Arsenal in the Premier League. And then there are a couple of teams scattered throughout Europe as well. So there's Balk, Saloniki FC, who is my Greek team. There's Minnesota FC. In the MLS.
Why Minnesota?
Because Colin Martin came out he was playing for them when he came out.
Fantastic.
But now he plays for San Diego Loyal.
Oh, okay.
I always find them great names. Very interesting names. Seattle Sounders.
San Diego Loyal is a great name.
San Diego Loyal.
Mm.
Wow.
They play in, I think it's the USL.
Yeah.
United States League.
Yeah. The like our NPL.
Second tier.
So a question we ask everybody that comes on the pod and, you know, one of the send ones, Derby or Big Blue, what means more to you? What do you look forward to? What gets you more revved up?
Can I say both? For different reasons?
Yeah, okay.
Explain yourself.
Okay, fine. well then, I'll start off with Derby, then, if I must, because there is nothing better than having bragging rights in the same city.
Yes.
Oh. Yep.
Victory, only because it ties in. And I think a lot of people don't really understand the Sydney-Melbourne rivalry. Mm. But for me, I thrive off that sort of a little bit of a rivalry. So, yeah, that's why that one.
Fantastic.
Fair enough. And what's your feelings on the newest, has it been officially dubbed the M5 Derby?
Well, I don't know if it's official or not.
Yeah. But the newest kind of MacArthur Derby, does it feel like a derby? Do you give a damn about them? Are they completely indifferent in your mind despite the recent losses? Like,
It's not
evoking an emotional response from you.
It's not. It's a hard one. I think it has a real potential to be, because I think they are doing actually quite well. And I did say in a reserve team podcast that I hoped that as the new outfit that they wouldn't just be there to make up the numbers. I really wanted them to be competitive. Mm. And they are actually being competitive. So I do hope that these games do develop into more of a spectacle. I do not think it will eclipse Sydney FC, Western Sydney Wanderers. So to that degree, I don't think it's necessarily a derby in exactly the same sort of sense.
See, like a big brother, little brother kind of thing.
There's no history.
Not yet.
Is, you know,
Wanderers are like the red-headed cousin. Yeah. They're like the little, you know, they're just ugly and disgraceful. What do you don't want them around.
Redheads.
Oh, you're not that red.
No.
Your beard is, but your hair isn't.
Yeah.
Don't know about the rest. But anyway, now, John, your favourite Sydney FC player, albeit past or present, and can you give me one male and female?
Oh.
So I'm going to go, no, not so much.
Easy?
Teresa Pelias is my OG. She's a queen. She's so
the best.
Yep, absolutely. So,
love it a bit.
And with regards to males, Sean's probably going to cringe, but I'm going to say Steve Corica.
Yes.
Give it to him.
Okay.
Great choice. And I mean, again, you first introduced
the club. We said players, not coaches.
2009-10 season, so that makes complete sense. So that's a very good choice. I like it. The Silver Fox.
Indeed.
Stevie Corica.
He scrubs up well.
He's gorgeous.
He's very fit. He's
very attractive.
Very stylish.
No, don't go trying to change your opinions now.
Oh, I'm not talking. No,
he's completely shallow. Just doesn't count. He's completely shallow. It's just on looks.
Yeah.
Shallow like prefers online dating.
Yeah. Shallow hell.
John, you mentioned it just then, the reserve team, who you are a contributor for, and watch this space for some upcoming content. I think I'm allowed to say that.
Sure.
Very good. Not to give anything too much away. for our listeners who may not have gotten onto the reserve team yet, who are they? Who are you? How do you contribute? What's it all about?
Reserve team is a fantastic bunch of people. We come from all walks of life. We're all from different parts of Australia, and we've even got some Kiwi friends as well across the ditch who contribute. And it's all things football related, from grassroots to elite, all about New Zealand and Australian football.
Awesome.
And yeah, it's just all about fan driven media.
Fantastic. Brilliant. And it is Australian and New Zealand focused.
It is.
Yep.
Yep.
Cool.
Yep.
Brilliant.
Obviously we can, you know, we do make references sometimes to other leagues and what's going on around the world around us. But the predominant focus so far is about Australian and New Zealand football. Ladies League tries to focus a lot more predominantly on women's football, and I think the reserve team tries to also carry on that as well by giving equal coverage to women's football as well as to men's football. Fantastic.
What's it meant to you to be involved with such a great group of people?
It's amazing. It really is. It's a fantastic opportunity because, and you know, I'm so grateful to Rose and the team at the Ladies League for allowing me to come on board with a reserve team, because One of the things that I think I've found with the reserve team and with the Ladies League is their desire to actually have referee voices as well.
Which is very important. Jokes aside,
not many outlets necessarily. And let's be real, not many people actually care about what referees have to say. But it is nice to find a little bit of a niche with people who actually do want to hear from the third team. So yeah,
fantastic.
Now, speaking of refereeing, it's a bloody tough gig, and you guys, refereeing as a whole, do get a bit of shit, and unfairly so. So how did you get in refereeing? Why choose this path in life?
I said earlier I was clinically insane. I wasn't joking.
You weren't thinking
about it. It does take a very insane person to say, I want to put myself in the middle of 22 very angry people. And manage some very high pressure situations. No, so I've been a fan of football for a very long time, but I was always very diligent in my studies, so didn't really do extracurricular activities with regards to sports and whatnot. But yeah, 2014, I eventually bit the bullet and said, no, I'm not comfortable just being a spectator anymore. I actually want to be involved. Mm-hmm. So reached out to my local referee branch, did the course, and yeah. Nine years later.
Did you start off like with the littlies and those little ones and worked your way up to like the adults over 45s?
So
all age one or stuff like that.
So my first game actually I think was probably under 14s, under 15s. I could probably look it up. But I think it was an under 14s, under 15s match. I just progressed further and further up the ranks, was an assistant referee on Premier League not too long after that.
Fantastic.
And yeah, we'll be cracking into Premier League pretty soon as well.
And what are your pet hates as a refereeing? Is it the diving? Is it the getting up into your face? You know, the players, they get up in the referee's faces and like the referee never changes. They're like, oh, okay, you know, I'll change my mind. Or
that's not so much a pet hate. Pet hate, I don't know.
Trying to be neutral?
No, I'm not. I'm just trying to think. And it's actually, you just don't think it. I think once you get to a certain point, you just learn to ignore everything.
You got quite a thick skin then.
No, I don't. I really don't. I wear my heart on my sleeve. I can be very, very combative. Mm. Trust me, I don't like losing arguments. So the hardest thing that I had to learn was being on a field where half the people would say, no, you're wrong. And I was like, but I'm not. No, I'm not. It's been a learning experience.
You've grown.
That's good.
I'm trying. A couple more years, I'm sure I'll get
there. Do you have a favourite referee that you look up to? What's that great referee, the bald guy, the Italian bald?
Oh, yeah.
Pierluigi Collina.
Mike
Dean.
But is any like referees who, you know, you quite like their style because they're quirky or one reason or another?
No, to be perfectly honest with you, if I have seen him, I don't recall seeing Collina referee a match. I think with regards to Australia, I would probably say you aim for someone like Jared Gillett.
Yeah.
More than anything, mm-hmm. who's now obviously,
VAR,
you know, really. Yeah, in the championship, and you know, trend setting there, but no, I don't really have a favorite referee to be perfectly honest. There is Sarah Ho, but she is a killer assistant referee. Mm-hmm. I've tried a lot of my style has come from referees that I've seen in my local area who've been refereeing for a good 30 years. And just taking stuff, putting it into my game and seeing whether or not it works for me. And if it doesn't, then we move on.
There's always another game.
Has it been, for the most part, an enjoyable experience being a referee, John? Or?
Yeah, for me it has.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, there are life skills that come from refereeing.
And as you said, you're now mentoring the next gen of referees. Is that correct?
Yeah. This season I'm also the coach of my local referees branch.
Fantastic.
So what's that involve then?
Arranging courses for them, ensuring that essentially their qualifications are up to date, managing their qualifications, managing their expectations of where they want to be, potentially getting them exposure to the games that will allow them to progress, putting them in touch with Football New South Wales referees, programs and initiatives for referees as well, to ensure that if they want to go up to higher levels, that they've got that ability and that pathway to do so. So it is managing the expectations of all the referees, senior and junior, and not just in terms of experience with refereeing, but in terms of ages as well.
And so how big are these cohorts? Like are we, you know, going to have an influx of young referees coming through the country and up through, you know, the youth levels and severe competition with high standards?
Because you hear a fair bit of media that they're struggling for referees at grassroots levels and things. In your experience,
the retention rate would not be great.
So there is a lot of referees, I think, well, I know in my area, a lot of referees haven't necessarily come back. So the restart didn't fill them with a lot of confidence. Mm. So a lot of them just didn't come back. I think we're all feeling the effects of that as well at branch level. Yeah. Generally our class sizes, at the local level will be around 15 or so. to 30, a decent class size, but sometimes it's less about the number and the quality of refereeing that you're going to get out of them. So part of, you know, the foresight is also ensuring that you're covering matches where there is a gap. So if we're losing a lot of our senior referees who are doing our Premier League or our top flight games, then we're not going to get much service out of junior referees who are 13, 14 and just meeting the bare minimum to start refereeing. So it leaves us with a gap that we then have to fill, and we've got to try and market and recruit in order to get people at that age group or at least at that competency level.
And if we can use this as a bit of a platform to, if someone was interested in doing a refereeing course, maybe with Bankstown, what do they do?
Well, you can jump onto Play Football. We are taking registrations for a Level 4 referee course on the 13th of March, which is great. Saturday, and Sunday, the 14th of March. Course is currently free.
Wow.
And if you register to referee with Bankstown Football Referees, you will pay a $100 registration fee, but if you referee 30 games, which includes being an assistant referee, you get that $100 back.
Wow. That's pretty great.
Essentially, you pay zero.
And you get to meet and hang out with John. Like, that's pretty cool.
That's not so cool, but anyway.
That's great. Thank you, John. Now we get down to the serious questions. Have you ever had to send off a parent from the sideline?
A parent?
Yeah, you're allowed to give parents red cards.
No, spectators don't necessarily count. At the grassroots level, you encourage ground marshals to look after spectators.
Do they hand out lollipops to parents so they keep their mouths shut when their kids are playing?
Oh, I wish they did. Yeah. There's an idea.
It's not a bad idea.
I heard that as an initiative somewhere.
Or like a Werther's original or something. Something, you know, that jam the jaw shut.
Yeah.
There are some associations that do a silent round.
Oh.
So essentially you have to find a different way of supporting your team other than like cheering vocally. And using words. And
So a bit like COVID restricted Cove.
Kind of, but then there's also like encouragement rounds as well. So, you know, associations will, you know, only want you to shout encouraging things to your teams and to your players as opposed to you know, getting frustrated and whatnot. Yeah.
Good there's no berate round.
No, that wouldn't be so good.
All positive spins, which is good. I guess onto your fandom of Sydney FC, what's a typical match day look like for you if you were going to a game?
If I'm going to a game, it starts off with... So I've got a bit of a ritual. I do like to prepare myself for the game. So I will,
body shave. Like Sean does.
Wow. You're at the Cogra Playhouse as well.
Clubhouse, Sean.
Clubhouse. Keep getting that word wrong. Sefton Playhouse, sorry. Yeah. That's the other nights.
You have some weird rituals, boys.
Just Sean.
Yeah. Okay.
It was more because we were talking about him veting before, right?
Yeah. Nah. Yeah. Yes. It was yeah, using nah.
So what's some of your rituals of a morning or of a game day?
No, look, game day rituals actually include I much prefer only wearing blue coloured underwear.
Yes.
Nice. Yeah.
Same.
Okay, so my body hair John, thing wasn't that weird.
No, it really wasn't.
It might help us bond further, but I'm the same. I wear my blue jocks. Or I play for Enfield, green and black and white, so I wear green jocks, you know, stuff mm-hmm, like that. Mm-hmm. It's superstitious.
No,
but
I agree.
I can't help it.
No. It's yeah.
And
yeah.
Like if I go to reach for a pair of undies and like we're playing the Wanderers and I go reach for a pair of that has red, and I'm like, oh,
the
no,
bonds,
I'm not wear
the
those.
Bonds, red and blacks.
How old are you that you own coloured underwear?
I'd like to. Sorry, John, to interrupt.
It's the band. The band across.
No, sorry, sorry, John, to interrupt your match day rituals. If anyone else has a sky blue or blue underwear ritual, get in touch. I want to survey the listeners.
We're taking pics.
I want to survey. Yeah, no, no pictures, no.
Let's compare underwear brands.
Not brands, no, just colours. Because there's three people out of four here that do it. So it must, maybe it's a more common thing than we would think. Anyway, sure. John, yes. After you have your underwear on.
Yep. Then, no, it's generally just catch up with friends. When we were at the SFS, it would be go to a pub, meet up at the pub and then walk over. Otherwise, just getting to the ground at least just after or just a little bit before gates open.
Yep.
Get in.
Nice and early.
Yep, that's it. And my ritual used to be get to the carpet section at the old SFS.
Nice.
I was definitely part of the carpet crew.
Nice.
Yeah.
That was the area.
Carpet crew was the area.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, we've serendipitously lined this visit of yours up with Mardi Gras coming mm-hmm. up this weekend, Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
What's your take on the state of pride in the game? Right? Is there
in the Australian game?
Yeah, the Australian game specifically. Is there enough outreach? Is there enough engagement of the community? Is it a, for want of a better term, and I don't mean this in mm-hmm. probably the way it'll come off. Don't seek and speak, and don't you know actively seek it out, or is it getting better? Like, what's your assessment?
I don't think. I think it comes down to individual clubs, and I think Sydney FC has done quite well to engage with the LGBTQ community, mm-hmm. Rainbow Laces, kicking homophobia and racism out of football. Do I think the league could be doing more? Look, I think it's important to also be careful because you don't want to go shoving things in people's faces either. And I think by doing so, if there's not so much an identified problem in that fan base, you probably will put people offside who have more traditional values. So the last thing you want to do is necessarily turn those people off because, you know, you're bashing them with all this political correctness, if I can talk frankly. If there's not a problem, I don't necessarily think there needs to be a call for action every time. However, that being said, in my article in the reserve team, I did quote Sarah Ho as saying, if you can't see it, you can't be it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there is room for greater exposure, or there probably needs to be a focus on queer allies in football. People like Andy Brennan. I can't remember his name, but there was a Premier League referee, or at least the referee in the lower leagues of the UK, who also came out as gay as well, and his story was circulating around on Twitter. You know, some of our Matildas are quite open about their sexual orientation as well. I think stories like that do help, because if there is a young person out there who is conflicted about their gender or sexual orientation, they do need to know that there are allies out there. So with regards to doing more, what does that look like? I don't know. I really don't, because, yeah, that's...
The women do a fantastic job, the women's side of the game, with, you know, embracing pride and being gay and so on fantastically well. do you think there should be like maybe a pride round, you know, see it in like the NRL Indigenous round, ladies round, pink round, you know, got the pink test match with the, in the, or would you find that a bit tokenistic? Like,
look, again, yeah, I think my response will probably be twofold. One, I think, yes, those things can be seen as gimmicky. Mm. It does, however, have the effect of actually getting that exposure out there.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody will probably argue, okay, so where does it stop? Like, we've got Indigenous round, then we'll have, you know, Pride round, and then where does it stop? Are we just going to start? Is every round going to be a different celebration of something else?
Star Wars round?
Yeah. So I do get that argument, but if, and that's why I say, I think if there is a way of getting exposure out there, or if there is a way for, you know, FA and clubs, or, you know, the APL, you know, mm-hmm. doing more in terms of promoting allies, that probably would be more meaningful at the grassroots level and at the elite level. Rather than something like a pride round. But I'm not going to say no to a pride round.
Yeah, fair call. Yeah. I just my two cents. I think the least we could do is, you know, if we are having a home fixture in Mardi Gras week, like we have done previously, we spoke previously around the Sydney Rangers and the, what's the female name of the team?
Bats.
The Flying Bats.
Flying Bats, I think.
I apologise if I've got that wrong. But we Sydney FC invited them, those soccer teams. Mm-hmm. So for those that aren't aware, sorry, those are gay football teams that encourage, you know, and as a safe place to come and play football and belong in that environment. So they were invited to a Sydney FC game. From memory, it was received extremely well by the crowd. They got a really big round of applause pre-game. They might have even put on a little game. I can't remember. It was a few years ago now. But at the very least, like you said, John, you know, if it's club by club, you know, why can't we wear rainbow socks for a game, or, you know, at least raise that as a, hey, we're Sydney FC and it's cool.
Mm.
It's fine, you know.
Pashing is not a crime.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. So anyway, that's my two cents on that thing. But anyway. Yes, James?
No, I like
Oh,
that.
I thought you were leaning in. I thought you were leaning in. Any other questions for our wonderful guest before we move on to some previews, gentlemen?
No.
Fantastic. Thank you for allowing us to put the spotlight on you.
No, not at all. Thank you so much for having me on, Jets.
That was good fun. All right. And if before we move on to the previews, where can people talk to you, John? Twitter?
Twitter is the best place
at
to
John
engage.
Apotsis?
At Jay Apotsis.
Jay Apotsis.
Yep. Come Fantastic. On, mate.
Sorry.
You've been DMing him for like 18 months.
I have. It's taken a lot of work to get John on. He was a hard get.
It really wasn't.
I have an attention whore.
We got him.
It was literally a 30-second response.
It was. No, and we really do appreciate it.
Actually, one question I do have. Do you plan on more of your work on the reserve team and those sorts of outlets being around pride in football, or more just football? Like,
it's more refereeing, isn't it, for you?
Yeah, or is it more a subject you're going to actively pursue and start shining a bit of a light on, or in that vein of let's not shove it?
Look, I see there being, I think, an angle to take, I will definitely be more than happy to put my name to something and shed some light on it. Whether that's, you know, as a member of the LGBTIQA+ community, or whether it's as a member of the third team or the referees. Definitely would be looking to do more, but when and as required or necessary. So, yes, but there will potentially be more stuff coming from the reserve team. Awesome. So watch this space.
Thank you, John. Sean.
Yo.
There's a W League game coming up, a very important W League game coming up between Sydney FC and Adelaide United this Saturday, the 6th of March. Talk to me.
7:05 p.m. at Marden Sports Complex over there in Radelaide. A few weeks back, we had a 2-1 win. It was a bit tight at the end with the girls having a little bit of a nervy finish, but got the chocolates nonetheless. I dare say if they beat Adelaide, that should be the Premier's plate sewn up signed, sealed, delivered. Should. I'm yours. then they've got the bye, and then they've got Victory and Canberra to come, which will be very tight, interesting games because they're battling for top four spots. I'm going to say it again. Come on, Auntie, give Alira Toby a start. Just give her. She's fantastic. I wonder how she's feeling. Like, she got the golden boot last year. I'm not saying she regrets her move to Sydney. Far from it, because, look, they're coming first and heading towards the Premier plate in the semi-finals and whatnot. But she got the golden boot last year with Brisbane Roar, albeit shared amongst, I think it was five of them or something. Yeah. Got the golden boot. Anyway, and then she hasn't scored a goal yet.
She doesn't have much football.
No.
And to be fair, again, Sean, they're top of the table. Everyone's scoring goals. You talked Princess into form last week.
Yeah.
When you said
I thought that. When she got two, I was like, she hasn't scored since round one.
She obviously listened.
Like, I'll do it for Sean.
Yeah.
Thank you, that's Princess. Right. That's right. But no, Princess Courtney and Remy are just...
And they're not
ridiculous.
Again, we've spoken about this before, but they're not playing Wednesday, Saturday like the guys. So there's not really a need for that rotation. Look, if we get clear, if the Premier's plate gets wrapped up, Brisbane stumble, whatever else, I think he'll put her into a starting position to just see what she can offer that's a bit different. But in saying that, again, do you break up a winning team? I mean, I don't know.
Probably not.
I don't know if she'll get the start.
Yeah, and also that midfield battle, I use that in inverted commas, with Mackenzie, Claire, Teresa and Taylor.
Yep.
You know, and just that little bit of rotation, does Claire keep a spot? I think so. She's killing it.
I think so, yeah.
Teresa will come back in, and it'll be a matter of, do you see Mackenzie or Taylor? Probably Mackenzie might get the nod at the moment.
Macca started the season on fire, and then... I don't know. She was left on the bench for a bit of rotation with Taylor Ray and... it's a luxury. He's got a luxury on the bench.
Ellie Brush
at the moment.
Will be out, albeit hopefully just a week or so. God forbid there's nothing
dastardly
wrong
there. I'm sure we'll get an update from the club.
Oh, you'll see Charlotte partnering Nat with Ellie Green. Killed. She made team of the week. It was very blue, very sky blue, that team of the week this for the last weekend. And then on the right, it will be the Angel or Charlie Rule.
Well, Charlie Rule, yeah. So was it this game, sorry, Sean, that Charlie Rule started right back, or was it the game
the
at Cromer?
Yeah.
And she did a pretty good job
as
well. Yeah. It's interesting. It's like a few managers out there that you see that rather than, you know, recruiting, I need two tens, I need two nines, I need two whatever, they've got players that can play multiple positions. and you know, I might be a little bit of Leeds United, Marcelo Bielsa bias there, but...
a little bit?
You know, it's That's sort of what Ante's
sleeps in his jersey
doing, right? Yeah. To see us have Liz Ralston out all season so far, and Lizzie, we hope you come back on the bench very soon, especially if Ellie's out. But to not bring in a recognised central defender and go, nah, Nat's good, you're in, and then Charlotte McLean started on the right, she's now a central defender.
They lost Alana Kennedy, who's soccer Matildas. And then,
so for him to have the confidence in the squad to do that's been fantastic. It's been
coaching masterclass.
Absolutely. Let's hope they can. I'm praying that they can wrap it up.
And it'll be a tight game with Adelaide, another team battling for that top four spot. And very quickly, the young fellas are playing Sydney United over at the wonderful Adenza Park, which is a great venue to watch football at. Absolutely awesome. 7th of March, 4 p.m. kickoff. Maybe Jonathan, we might wander down and get some chavapi.
I think so.
This is going to be a tough game. United had their first win against Olympic over the penalty. I think it was in the second half. Sydney United are going to be one of those teams.
Reigning
champs, of course. So they'll be top four somewhere this season. So it'll be tight for the boys. I think a draw would – I don't want to sound pessimistic and mean, but a draw would be a great result on the road over in Indenza. But I think the boys can get the chocolates. Why not?
I'd be very keen to head out to that game, Sean. So let's tee that up off air.
Yeah, a bit of golf in the morning. Val's not listening.
I don't know if I get the whole day, but we'll see. We'll see. Do you get out to much NPL, John? You probably usually refereeing or –
Yeah,
Saturday, Sundays would be chockers, right?
Yeah, look, I used to because I used to volunteer once upon a time.
Oh,
at the club.
Yes,
yep.
As our friend Ross told us.
Yes, indeed. So I used to volunteer with Sydney FC. So I used to get out to NPL and W League matches, but these days, no, my time is very much
absolutely
spent
running
around grounds.
Well, luckily you've got NPL.tv to catch up on all of the action.
Exactly.
All right, gentlemen, and last but not least, we have an A-League game to preview against Brisbane Roar over in across the ditch, across the border. Still open, I hope.
Ditch?
Over at Moreton Daly Stadium, not Dolphin Stadium, unless that's a different name, but it is on the 6th of March, 5 minutes past five in the evening. As we all know, we had a nil or draw just a few rounds with them, a few rounds ago, I should say, at home. Predicted lineup, gentlemen. What are we thinking? What is Bimby going to do? Are we going to see any movement? Obviously, Retro is out for a week for a game. You're with an R7?
Mm.
Or is the straight red a different?
Straight red is different.
Ooh. What's a straight red?
So he probably would have gotten it for an R1.
There you go.
These are the different reasons.
Yeah, when I could do the
These are the codes.
Yeah, I've seen these codes. I'm the team manager of my team. I see them written down. I always like when the ref goes, oh, you got a yellow? That's all right. I won't record it. I'm like, nice guy.
All age, John.
My favourite. Okay. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, playing for Walker.
Not real football.
Hey. Stay. Hold me back. Now.
Just want to clarify, it wasn't the referee that came out with that comment.
So, look, we're definitely – Retre's out. I can only assume – Bratton will be back. So it'll be Bratton and Ewenhoff in the middle.
You would assume.
Do we see any rotation between Caceres and ABJ?
I feel like he's been doing that on and off, hasn't he?
Yeah, I can't.
John?
I would really like to see ABJ start and Caceres come in off the bench. I'd be curious to see what that does to that little dynamic.
Yeah. ABJ's visionary is quite sublime.
That was the plan last game, and I
think his through balls are great.
Oh, he picks a pass,
threads a needle.
I feel like there's no other position we've got where there are two quite opposite players that are quite excellent as ABJ and Caceres.
Mm.
Right, ABJ will chuck a ball through the middle and thread it perfectly, and Caceres will twinkle toes around and go for a run.
And some more run with
the ball. They're totally different players in the same position, but both equally fantastic. And there's no other position on the pitch where we've got that.
I think the benefit you get from having AC on the bench is that he's a little bit more flexible. He can come on into the centre if he needs to, if someone gets injured, or he can play left or right.
Well, I dare say.
Whereas Alex is a bit more...
Yeah, he's definitely more versatile.
Thank you. That is the word that Jonathan was thinking of.
Well, I dare say Caceres will start on the bench. A, ABJ is playing quite well, and B,
he is.
With no cover on the bench for a centre mid, with Zavella, of course, gone, and Retro gone the week, you'll see Caceres as that cover, if God forbid something happens to Callum or Bratton.
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe even Caceres might even start and Bratton comes off the bench.
Yeah, we still, at this stage of the week, don't know if Luke's back in. We hope he is.
Up front, guys, do we see just Wood and Costa up there? I wouldn't mind seeing Geordie have a go and maybe start, but I don't know. But I'd say Wood and Costa will start. Bimby doesn't like to change.
I don't see Geordie starting.
No, I think from what we've seen... Though.
Yeah. Worth a shot, definitely.
From what we've seen from Pat Wood and the Costa combination, again, we said before the red card, we're actually creating quite a lot of chances. And, you know, one thing I didn't say before, but it's an old cliche, is at least we're having those chances. You know, it'd be a lot worse if we didn't have those chances to score.
Does anybody think that we should just throw a Hail Mary and
put McGowan up at the start?
Again?
That's not where you were going?
Let it go, Sean.
Okay. Thank you. Yes, sir.
Be Elsa for just a moment. Let it go.
I thought you said Be Elsa.
Yeah, me, it took me a second. Yeah.
No, I get it again.
Sorry, John, you were throwing caution to the wind.
I was going to say, do we throw a Hail Mary and actually let the young ones start?
Oh, like a Geordie,
is that,
Patwood?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Is that changing things up way too fast, way too quickly for...
I don't know if I...
Surely there's enough support there. Surely there's enough support.
I can't see Steve doing it, you're going.
Same. I don't think he'd do it either. But
I like where you're going though.
They've actually got some prowess. They've actually got some youth. They've actually got some legs.
And
about them.
They've played, at, of course, an entirely different level of football, but they have played quite a lot together at that NPL level.
Mm. They know each other's game. I like
this guy, John Nissen.
Well, it'll be interesting. It happens.
You should come onto a podcast.
Funny you should say that.
And you, I like you, it. You know anyone?
No one good.
Ladies League.
Yeah. Reserve team.
The Ladies Pod? No, they got that covered.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to ruin a winning formula.
Maybe Trent, who knows if he's back with his niggling, whatever it is, might find himself on the bench, maybe starting. Of course, Bobo's there. I'd love to see Zulo if he's fit and able, but otherwise, you'll see the back four as per usual. So,
Zulo hasn't even made the bench.
Yeah.
He's got to be close, though.
He's got to be close.
We were there, 3 weeks ago? And it looked like he was at the tail end of rehab, but he's still not on the bench, which means not progressing, flare up.
Jono, Callum Talbot, is he a left or right back?
Right.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Giving Talbot a run. But anyway, I digress. It's going to be a tough gig against Brisbane at home. We should have beaten them that nil or draw, but nonetheless, we didn't get the chocolates.
Yeah.
Predicted score. How do we see this going, gentlemen?
Quick shout out. Sorry, Sean. Yeah, quick shout out to all of the away supporters, particularly the Cove, who are heading up there in numbers to Brisbane. So, life as we know it is slowly returning to a bit of normality, and long may it continue. And there's a big contingent going up to Dolphin Stadium. So looking forward to see how that looks on the telly at that boutique stadium. So predicted scores. Oh, geez, Sean. I don't know. It's a hard question.
It is.
Spicy draw.
Spicy draw.
Are we talking a scoreless draw? Are we talking a one-all draw?
We're spicy. You look like you're in agony. Like, it's just, you're in pain. I gave
a response of what you want from me, man. So come on.
Trying to get blood from the stone. No, a spicy draw.
Okay. I'm going to say
type of draw?
Either a 2-2 draw.
A Desmond.
Or
okay.
A Sydney FC 3-2 win.
Ooh.
I'd like that.
So I like giving a vague answer to giving two.
Very specific response.
I admire the confidence you have that we will score three.
Okay. I was about to say the same thing.
We will do a Western United and we will score in like the very last minute of the match.
Blitz. Nice. Sean, what are you thinking?
I'm going to say a 1-0 win.
Interesting. That's more optimistic than I thought I'd get from you this week.
2-1 loss for me.
I'm proud of you, boy. 2-1 loss. Yeah, look, I can't see us scoring more than one goal.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say a 1-1 or a... I'm going to say 1-1. That's what I'm going to say.
Okay.
Or an L. Sorry. It's not quite clicking at the moment.
Things aren't.
Which is fine. We'll be fine.
It's a long season, right? We're about a third of the way through, a quarter of the way through.
Not quite.
We are, we're nearly there. 10 games we're nearly at. When everyone's at 10 games, I think that's a really good read on the season rather than, everything else on the speculation. But when every team gets to 10, which we're probably only a couple of weeks away, we'll have a pretty good understanding about, where we're going to go. I've still got no fears that we'll be a top two team.
Wow. I love your optimism.
And on that positive note... That's thanks for everyone for tuning in this week, and thank you so much to our wonderful guest John Apotsis.
Thank you so much for having me, gents. It has been a pleasure.
You're welcome back anytime that Sean's not here, so you don't have to cop abuse.
Hey, I'm the most person here and been on the pod.
You're
so
the
I don't
most
like
person here.
I don't know how to say.
You're the
say
most
it.
Person. Which one's your microphone?
My
Get out
vocab
here.
Just failed me.
My thanks. Most person
most,
here.
Most appearances.
Thanks. Thank you,
coming, John.
Thank you. Thank you, James, for coming in. Thank you to Arrow Sport once again for supporting our folly here. And we're super excited to have you guys on board, and we can't wait to see what's to come in the next few weeks.